Ah, mmm. The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. Tonight, a sea of National Guard members surrounding the Capitol, scene where the House cast a historic and bipartisan vote today, leaving President Trump fighting one last battle in his final days in office.
The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid upon the table.
A landmark moment. For the first time in history, the President of the United States impeached for a second time.
Madam Speaker, today I rise to support H.R.S. 24.
After hours of testimony,
Mr. Speaker, we are debating this historic measure at an actual crime scene.
Every single House Democrat joined by 10 House Republicans voting yes to impeach the president on a single charge of inciting insurrection after last week's rally.
Let's walk down Pennsylvania Avenue.
Led to a siege on our nation's capital.
Donald J. Trump is now the first president in our country's history to be impeached twice, and that falls on the heels of an insurrection at the nation's capital, a vote to impeach him that took place in the very room where that insurrection was underway.
What do you think they would have done if they had gotten in? What do you think they would have done to you?
Throughout the day, the Democratic majority largely arguing the president remains a threat to the nation, despite having only 7 days left in office.
Nancy Pelosi came out swinging.
He must go. He is a clear and present danger to the nation that we all love.
But unlike the first time, they're now joined by 10 Republicans casting their votes to oust the president. Liz Cheney of Wyoming, Dan Newhouse and Jamie Herrera Butler of Washington, Fred Upton and Peter Meyer of Michigan, David Valadejo from California, John Katko of New York, Tom Rice of South Carolina, Anthony Gonzalez of Ohio, and Adam Kinzinger from Illinois.
This may cost me my job. It may not. But this is the kind of decision that is worth putting it all on the line, because quite honestly, more time in Congress is not worth losing what I believe to be an honor losing vote. I think we have to understand that, you know, many people, even many of the people at this rally, went there because they were misled that the election was stolen. So it's a process to inform people of how they were misled about, you know, the importance of a peaceful transfer of power.
House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy, a longtime ally of the president, placing blame on Trump for last week's attack on the Capitol.
The president bears responsibility for Wednesday's attack on Congress by mob rioters. He should have immediately denounced the mob when he saw what was unfolding.
But the congressman siding with the nays, saying impeachment would tear the country apart with such little time left in Trump's term.
A vote to impeach will further fan the flames of partisan division.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell reportedly telling associates he believes Trump committed impeachable offenses.
Mitch McConnell has made clear there's not going to be time for a Senate trial before Donald Trump's term ends. But he could get convicted after he leaves office. And that would be another first, a grim first for Donald Trump.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second annual impeachment show extravaganza.
Among the 197 Republican members of Congress who voted no on impeachment, many lobbing blame on their Democrat colleagues. Republican Jim Jordan of Ohio joined a chorus of GOP representatives taking aim at the Democrats' motives.
Not just about impeachment anymore, it's about canceling, as I've said, canceling the president and anyone that disagrees with them.
Matt Gaetz of Florida, one of President Trump's fiercest defenders, suggesting the Democrats have instigated even more violence.
I denounce political violence from all ends of the spectrum, but make no mistake, the left in America has incited far more political violence than the right. For months, our cities burned, police stations burned, our businesses were shattered, and they said nothing.
He and other fellow Republicans comparing last week's attack on government protests by Black Lives Matter activists.
If we prosecuted BLM and Antifa rioters across the country with the same determination these last 6 months, this incident may not have happened at all.
There was nothing more insulting to the general population's intelligence or the spirit of the African American community specifically than watching a one after another blame Black people for what transcended, not mentioning why they were protesting in the first place, which would be the deaths of Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd.
Over 90% of the Black Lives Matter protests were peaceful, but they were overwhelmingly met with more force than at the Capitol last week.
It looked like an army that was ready for battle when Black Lives Matter protesters went by. And we all witnessed what the police presence was like during the January 6th attack. So we can just see with our own eyes the disparity between how the protesters for Black Lives Matter were handled.
Look, I have a huge problem with Antifa. I condemned the actions in the summer, but an attack on the legislative branch of the U.S. government is a far different thing. When I hear that stuff, it just makes me determine that, look, we have to fight hard for the future of this country and the party.
An uncertain future as law enforcement in the nation's capital and capital cities in all 50 states are on high alert for domestic terrorists. The president tonight releasing a new video to the White House YouTube page.
I want to be very clear. I unequivocally condemn the violence that we saw last week. Violence and vandalism have absolutely no place in our country and no place in our movement.
What Trump did not mention is his historic second impeachment, noticeable as he once again did not take responsibility for his role in inciting the assaults last week. Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger of Virginia was one of the representatives sheltering during the siege on the Capitol.
We tried to make our way to escape out of the gallery. We didn't make it out and, in fact, ended up locked down in the chamber. It was an experience that I would have never thought possible in the United States Capitol.
Spanberger, now one of 222 Democrats voting in support of impeachment.
It is an issue of ensuring that every person who holds this office into the future recognizes and knows and understands that in the United States of America, under no circumstances, do we accept that the President of the United States would incite a violent mob to insurrection for the purpose of holding onto power.
In our nation's nearly 250-year history, impeaching a president is extremely rare. Only three U.S. presidents have been impeached.
The other impeachments have been about conduct. This is an impeachment about an attack on the democracy itself, summoned by the president is the allegation.
What's left to be seen, what the Senate will do with it this time, and what will be written in the history books.
Whatever Donald Trump's accomplishments, whatever they might have been, first line of his obituary is that he's the only president ever to have been impeached twice, and for this.
For more on this historic impeachment vote, earlier this evening I spoke with House Majority Whip and Democratic Congressman from South Carolina, Jim Clyburn. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us. You made an impassioned argument today, not just for impeachment, but for preventing President Trump from, in your words, seizing public office again. Why is that so important?
I think it's important for people to realize that when you get in a position of trust, you've got to demonstrate, not just for the people currently interacting with you, but for the future, that this country is not here for the benefit of any one person, that it's here for the benefit of all. And if you have been impeached for the second time within, what, a year and a half, then we should say that that in and of itself was enough for you not to ever hold office again.
I want to talk to you about the Republicans who cried hypocrisy today, criticizing Democrats for their support for the Black Lives Matter protests.
As the highest-ranking black member of Congress, how do you respond to that, and what was your reaction to the police response to the assault on the Capitol?
If you ever wondered why we feel the way we feel and say the things we say, just look at the difference in the preparation for Black Lives Matter peaceful demonstration and this one. And the difference is skin color.
Congressman Clyburn, thanks for your time as always, and it's good to see you well after the craziness of last Wednesday. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you very much.
And coming up, our powerhouse political team breaks down the impeachment showdown.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
We are 1 week away from the inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden. Now the insurrection impeachment casting a shadow on that day. Earlier this evening, I spoke with Yvette Simpson, CEO of Democracy for America, Sarah Fagan, a Republican strategist, Chris Christie, the former Republican governor of New Jersey, and Rahm Emanuel, the former mayor of Chicago and Democratic advisor. Thank you all for joining us. And Chris, I'll start with you. History has spoken about Donald Trump. So will he still be the Republican Party, or is this an indication it's over for him?
Well, you know, Byron, I think that gets determined by two sets of people, the president and the voters of the Republican Party in the United States. You know, I remember when he got in the race in 2015, I was in the race as well. None of us took him seriously and didn't think he was going to be a serious candidate. We really didn't. We were obviously made very wrong by the voters. So I think it's too early to decide that. The president has shown a complete disregard for the truth about a fundamental part of our American system, and that is the voting system to elect our president. I think that's damaged him, and I think it's damaged him significantly. But, you know, I don't know whether that finishes him or not, but I do think it damages him, and it should.
Does the Republican Party even want the hardcore Trump supporters moving forward?
Sure. They want people who support the agenda that the president put forward. And I think you have to separate message from messenger, Byron. Now, when you do that, maybe you'll lose some of those folks. Maybe those folks only would do that for Donald Trump. But I suspect that most of them respond to the message more than they respond to the messenger. And that's going to be one of the things the Republican Party is going to have to figure out. Like every party that loses the way we have now in the last 4 years, the House, the Senate, and the White House, you've got to take some time to be introspective.
Rahm, what happens to the 74 million voters who voted for Donald Trump? What can Joe Biden and the Democratic Party do to get some of them on board?
I think Joe Biden
by his DNA is already in showing in the transition, the polling, by his graciousness, his decency, and his willingness to kind of open up and be receptive to those even that disagreed. And I said this many times during the final months of the campaign, that when he went up to Minnesota to be with the Floyd family, there was a protester that greeted him, and he went over and gave him an elbow bump. And he said, "I'll be your president too." And it was a protester against him. And they both smiled. And I thought that was an iconic picture, and I said it then. And I think that kind of receptivity, that he's not going to shut people out, not going to cancel them, that he may not agree with him, mm-hmm. but we don't have to be disagreeable and see each other as mortal enemies. And tone and tenor from a president counts a lot. We just saw what it counted from President Trump. Mm-hmm. He fomented this American against American mindset. Joe Biden will be the opposite in 180 degrees from that. Second, we have a set of people, and listen, if you don't live in a metropolitan area, you don't have a college degree, you're not part of the economy, you have for a generation, not just under Trump, been left behind. And there's a person that that said at the protest, "Do you see me?" Mm-hmm. And I don't think people think that they've been seen, heard, or valued. And part of what Joe Biden, a kid from Scranton, can do is say to the working class who feel left behind, "I see you, I care about you, and here's how we're going to invest in you and your children."
Sure.
And it doesn't mean he's going to get $74 million, but he'll get their attention.
Sure. Sarah, Liz Cheney was one of 10 Republicans who voted for impeachment, and already her House colleagues.
The rest of the leadership will work hard to ensure that she remains the important voice that she is in the party. But, yeah, there is soul-searching that's happening. It's going to continue to happen. And a lot, I agree with a lot of what Chris said. I think much also will be determined by who is the next standard bearer. Is it somebody different than Donald Trump? You know, if Donald Trump's impeached, which seems less likely to me today, he's unlikely to be the nominee in 4 years. But if he is, you're going to see a ton of Republicans formally bolt the party and either go to an independent or go Democratic.
Sure. Yvette, we know a Senate trial won't happen until after Joe Biden is sworn in. Do the Democrats run the risk of a backlash here? Do they really want to start an impeachment trial at the beginning of Biden's term?
You know, I think it depends on the way you think about this. I mean, when I talk to people across the country, they consider this right now the number one issue. And so you can't walk around it. You can't skate past it and say, we're going to pretend like, you know, the U.S. Capitol was not stormed for the first time in 200 years and we all feel safe after this has happened. I think safety is one of the most foundational principles for people. And they want to know that the president isn't going to walk past it, that he's going to address it. You know, we're talking about healing versus accountability. We're talking about unity versus justice. And the reality is I think Joe Biden has to show himself as someone who will not allow what Donald Trump has done, what a lot of the folks who will be he will be working with in the Congress have supported and done, is going unaccounted. We know that folks are scared. We know that folks are worried. If he tries to pretend like this isn't happening, hug it out and let's keep it moving. I think folks are not going to feel like they're ready to talk about the other important issues that are facing our country.
This conversation will continue. Yvette, Sarah, Chris, Rahm, thanks again for your time tonight. We'll see you down the road.
Thank you.
Thank you.